this brings us to a pay-per-view that, I'm not going to lie, folks, I didn't see it. This is at a time, well, the time is still, it's current, the current day, where I'm not ordering every WWE pay-per-view. And this is one of them that I avoided, like the plague, SummerSlam 2007. Up from the famed East Rutherford, New Jersey Continental Airlines Arena, same place where 89 was held. And really the story that we could start with if you want is the fact that John Cena, WWE champion, beat Randy Orton in the main event.
Yeah.
It's 2009, yep. SummerSlam's only a few days away, and the only difference is that Randy Orton is the champion and not John Cena.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, this is crazy.
Right.
Let's look up and down the card real quick.
Okay.
God, let's make this quick because this is I don't remember it and it looked terrible.
Right.
It's really bad.
Dusty hates this one with all the vitriol he's got built up in him.
No, I watched this about a week ago. There's nothing good.
I am sorry that you had to put yourself through that. The opening match on the actual pay per view was Kane versus Fit Finlay. And I can't remember who said this on the comments on Stunt Granny, but this is not a pay-per-view match.
No. I really think WWE's still in the post-Benoit haze here, too. I don't think they're – I think they're a little distracted.
Okay.
I'll give them a little benefit of the doubt because it's only – you know, it's still within 2 months of it happening. So,
yeah.
But – anyway, it doesn't excuse Kane and Fit Finlay being on TV. I don't care who murders whom. So.
I'm going to murder somebody for having a match on this pay-per-view.
Yeah, no shit.
Intercontinental title match. Umaga defends successfully his belt against Mr. Kennedy and Carlito. Triple threat style. Like, this was your mid-card at the time.
Had Kennedy already lost his money in the bank and come back? By that point, I think he did.
I think so.
Because they took it off of him when they thought he had an arm injury, and then he actually came back like 3 weeks later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's basically what I remember about it.
Was this match at least good?
Okay.
It was okay?
It was okay.
Kennedy couldn't really go, so.
Was it anybody's doing that this match was okay? Did anybody carry the match?
Not that I really could tell.
Not that you would give credit for.
No, nobody deserves credit for this. But.
Okay. Next match, Rey Mysterio beats Chavo Guerrero. Now, keep in mind that in 2006, 1 year earlier, Chavo Guerrero beat Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
So we're already rehashing matches. I don't know. What's the scoop on this match?
About as good as any Chavo match can be.
Ouch, ringing endorsement from Dusty.
Yeah,
Chavo would be a good TV jobber. That's about it.
Uh-huh.
Old Chavo the Albatross Guerrero.
Yep.
The 1,000-pound weight. Okay, there's a Diva Battle Royal, Beth Phoenix won. She was obviously the right choice by the look of everybody else in there.
Oh, I mean, it's a diva match. What do you want from me?
Yeah, this. What can you possibly say?
They
right.
Spent 7 minutes on this, you know? Come on.
Nobody died. Let's move on.
This is almost evidence that we're still in a holding pattern, but the next match was for the ECW title. Champion John Morrison beat CM Punk.
I mean, this is another one. How many times have these two faced each other? This is really
50 by that point.
Yeah, just this month alone. And by this month, I mean August 2009.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love him to death, but this is time to...
Pretty good match, but nothing special.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know, Morrison was still coming into his own. He wasn't at a point where he was wrestling on all three shows every goddamn week.
No.
Right.
Yeah, this is post-Mercury, pre-Miz.
Yeah. You could see flashes of brilliance, but if we
right.
see the brilliance now.
Yep.
Okay, I mentioned this. Yeah.
Simple. the classic example of practice makes perfect.
Yes, there you go.
Absolutely awful, and now he's great. So.
Yep. Yep. You kids out there, call yourself something silly like Red Hot Johnny Blaze, and just stick with it, and eventually you will be John Morrison.
Yes.
Right.
Or you can hope to be, anyway. I mentioned this on the previous show. Triple H beats Booker T. Triple H is coming back from his second quad tear. What a dipshit. And so Booker T is the designated jobber again at Sunday.
Again. Yep, just like WrestleMania 19.
Yep. Of course that.
Designated jobber to Triple H.
Yep. Or just like when he lost to Batista the year before,
yep.
Or The Rock in 2001.
Mm-hmm. Credible
but,
enough that he's a main event jobber. Yep.
Yes, that's exactly it. I said it before, I'll say it again. People love Booker T. They love him and they love to hate him. They do. They react to Booker T exactly as they are told to because he's awesome.
Yep.
And you can take him seriously. You know, if he's put in a position where he's supposed to be booed, you boo him. If he's put in a position where he's supposed to be cheered, you cheer him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good worker, and Jordan, like you said, he's credible. So,
mm-hmm.
And then what does that mean? He has to fucking job to everybody on God's green earth.
Yep.
And I don't blame him for going to TNA. That was a brick wall situation for him.
Yep.
Well, that, he didn't want to take drug tests, but, you know,
well,
what are you going to do?
Is there a half?
Oh, my. Yeah, that's really, yeah, making people watch you urinate into a cup. What a bunch of horse shit.
Well, and, you know, another thing about this pay-per-view is guys are about 40 pounds lighter. And
yeah.
Trying to, I think, adjust to their new bodies is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sloppy stuff from guys who weren't normally sloppy through here.
Yep. Again, byproduct of the post-Benoit era.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ooh, am I going to go crazy and kill my family? I better flush this stuff down the toilet now.
Yeah. Cut to 4 months later, they're, you know, 20 pounds heavier than they were before it all started.
Right.
Taking unprotected chair shots to the head, you know. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somewhere Christopher Nowinski is masturbating and using his tears as lube.
That's how they do it at Harvard.
Yeah. I guess you can say that at Notre Dame, can't you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, man.
Masturbating. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, here's one for the ages. Batista beats world champion Great Khali by disqualification.
Yep. The feud must continue.
No, fuck no. Please no.
Was this the right before or right after the elevated enzymes pay-per-view where, like, the Punjabi prison and all the other stuff where all the guys started getting pulled from pay-per-views? Because of elevated liver enzymes. Yeah, it was somewhere right around in there. I think it was the month before or the month after. I can't remember.
This was the era.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you never knew if you were actually going to get the pay-per-view match you thought you were going to see.
Right. Matt Hardy isn't on this pay-per-view, and I think that's actually the reason why.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember, was it Lashley and Khali? Either pay-per-view, but I think, I want to say Great American Bash. Might have been after, but where, you know, this guy, it was post-Benoit, so it would have to be past late June because they were actually testing. So, yeah, but, like, there was a whole pay-per-view. The Punjabi prison didn't even have Khali in it. I think it had Batista and Undertaker in it.
Good
so,
Lord.
Yeah, it's a big mess through here, like, really bad all the way around.
I just thought I'd let that car go by before I kept talking. Okay.
It was a semi.
Jesus Christ. Wait, I promise next year, in November when we do the Survivor Series show, we'll all be outdoors. So,
I won't be outdoors because it'll be 10 below.
Well, so this is the world title match we get, Ben, and we've already said the WWE Championship match. By the way, I hope no one had anything more to say about Batista versus the Great Khali.
Nope.
Dusty, having just watched it, how many stars would you give this match?
Oh, 50. You know?
50?
Hell.
I'm going to give this match LX stars.
Uh-huh.
LX stars, yes.
Yep.
I got one more thing to say. Fuck you,
yeah.
Ron Jin Singh.
Oh,
however
really?
However the fuck you pronounce your name. You've been hanging around like a leech for 3 years now.
He was there? I thought it was Daivari at that time still. Jesus. I can't believe he's been around that long.
Oh,
man.
My God.
That's bad.
Yeah.
God.
Fuck. God. Dusty despises.
Yep. I have nothing more to say.
Yeah, me either. And then
the ring, dancing like a goof, as Great Khali comes to the ring, cutting the balls off your killer monster, so you can get fucking TV time. Because
yep.
All you are is a stupid jack-off writer. Fuck you.
I like it. That sounds how you really feel.
No, I don't like it.
Okay.
I could do without him.
Okay. John Cena, Randy Orton. You know exactly how the match goes.
We can watch Sunday and tell how that match went. How the 2007 match went. It's the exact same Cena Orton match you've seen a million times.
Yep.
Yep.
So, anywho, that's Dusty. Was there any surprises in that match? Were there any surprises, I should say?
I was surprised comatose at some point in this pay-per-view. Just mediocre crap.
Yeah. Well, fuck. No, that was just terrible. Yeah, that was a bad era. And
yeah.
Era, that's too big of a time period. It was a bad stretch for WWE.
I thought it was the worst year they'd had since 95. Then 2008 eclipsed that, and 2009 blown past that. So
yeah. 09's not doing
really
well.
We're in the golden age, you know?
Yeah.
No. 07 is, yeah, fond memories at that point.
Well, let's see. That was the number two worst SummerSlam of all time on the list, wasn't it? My God.
Mm-hmm.
We still have number one. We still have the worst SummerSlam of all time to talk about. It should come as no surprise to anybody that SummerSlam 1994 was voted on as the worst SummerSlam of all time. Let's go over this piece of shit. Okay, it was held in Chicago, Illinois at the United Center. It was the first televised event ever to be held at the United Center, which I think it opened like 3 whole days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think it sold out. I'm pretty sure it's sold out because Chicago is a fucking awesome wrestling town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful arena, especially at the time, you know?
Yeah, it was. It might still be, I don't know. But yeah, no, it was. It looked fantastic on TV.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, it drew 23,000, and I think Allstate Arena is like, what, 18,000?
Yeah.
So you got 5,000 more people in there, and they're all piled on top of each other, and it looks awesome. And then what do they get? One and a half decent matches.
Yep.
Out of 7 that actually aired on the pay-per-view, and then an 8. Oh, Lord. Rematch with Adam Bomb beating Quang.
Yes.
But what are you going to say about that? Now, okay, on the pregame show, it was announced that Shawn Michaels and Diesel had beaten the Head Shrinkers for the tag team belts the night before. In Indianapolis at Market Square.
Right.
Which I like that. We need to do that more. They really do.
Yep.
Why
right.
go to a house show if you know what's going to happen before you go to it?
Yep. Well, and this is also, again, a byproduct of the Rumble 94. I think since the plan, which we'll get to in a minute, was to have Diesel lose the Intercontinental title, I think they still wanted a belt on him. So to keep the push of he and Sean going. So, even though Sean's really hurt at this point, isn't he? Doesn't he have the broken hand or whatever?
Right. He's barely wrestling at this point.
Yeah.
Because
even at the Survivor Series match, he doesn't even tag in.
So, he brings a long arm wrap, which might have been a cast.
Yeah.
It's a cast. but no, that's a good point. Is anything to keep a championship belt around Diesel's waist? Because they knew they were giving the Intercontinental belt to Razor Ramon, who was seconded by Sweetness Walter Payton, the late number 34.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So what that leaves us is an opening match. The Million Dollar Corporation, Erwin R. Scheister, and Bam Bam Bigelow beating the former champions, the Head Shrinkers, by disqualification in less than 7 minutes.
This was okay.
Yep.
It was okay.
This is babyface head shrinkers with Albano, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But it was right before, and God, that was bad. Albano's so terrible.
Oh yeah,
but
it was.
Albano's
oh God.
Manager of all time.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. And,
but this is also right before Samu was let go, and they brought in the Barbarian to be Fatu's partner.
So Lafa, yeah, the only Fafita.
Fatu wasn't wearing boots by this time, so that's good.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. What a clusterfuck. First of all, Erwin R. Scheister and Bam Bam Bigelow as a tag team just doesn't do it for me.
Nope.
Them winning
actually,
certainly didn't do
it. I kind of liked it.
Really? What do you like about it?
I don't know. I always thought that there should be a tag team, a billion-dollar corporation. This
mm-hmm.
works a lot better for me than Bigelow and Tatanka.
Yeah.
What about, God, who is
I think IRS should be like the tag team specialist in the million-dollar corporation.
He could have been like the Arn Anderson, the guy that
yep.
turned to and say, here's, you know, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
If they would bother acknowledging that he was Mike Rotundo.
Yeah.
Right.
But of course.
I mean, they could mention the titles he had won in the past.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
They could be the 3-time champion or, what, 4-time
huh.
champion?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, God, was it more than that?
Well, once with UX Express, and then 3 times with Money, Inc.
Yep. Okay, I couldn't remember if it was only once with Barry Windham.
I think so. Might have been twice, but I think it was only once.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably, whatever. We're not talking about that. Well, we kind of are, but.
No, we are, but we aren't.
We'll focus on SummerSlam, and maybe I'll look that up as we talk about it. But,
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. There's always the King of the Ring 94 tag team main event. I think it was 94, maybe it was 95. Where Ted DiBiase cut that promo about having a tag team in the Million Dollar Corporation.
It was 95.
Sid, and mm-hmm. as DiBiase said, his name is Sid, and Native American Tatanka.
Right.
Good team name. Good team name.
Yep.
The Sid and Tatanka Express.
Yeah. Now here's one of the almost good matches on the show. Alundra Blaze beats Bull Nakano to retain her women's championship. Obvious two women who have had experience in Japan wrestling each other.
Yeah.
Yep.
Both are very good women's workers. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brought a touch of Japanese style to 1994 WWF, which was stiff and kind of brutal.
Yeah.
But as far as reviving the women's division, I couldn't have think, you know, at the time, that was a pretty good choice, so.
Yeah. I also remember, I think that match. Jesus, is there an accident?
No. Keep going. I'm here.
Not at all, dude. I can't hear myself think. I think that match was voted, like, third runner-up for match of the year in Pro Wrestling Illustrated that year. And I really, truly think it's because it's such a novel thing and not because
right.
it's one of the best matches of the year.
No. But like I said, it's like Japanese women's style in America at the time was pretty rare to see.
Yeah, very true. Okay, Razor Ramon beats Diesel. We kind of talked about that a little bit. I thought it was an okay match.
It is, you know, it's what you're going to get with Hall and Nash.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, this was the best way to get Nash to do a job.
Yep.
Oh, here we go. I had to look it up. Mike Rotundo and Barry Windham, 2-time champions.
2-time, okay.
They beat Adonis and Murdoch once, and then they beat Sheik and Volkoff to win it back.
Okay, see, I remember the Sheik and Volkoff one. I didn't remember the one before. So. Okay, well, that still made him a... Okay, 5-time, wow.
5-time, yeah, 3 with Ted DiBiase. Now... Here we go. Here's a match that's going to go down in the anal of history as one of the worst pieces of shit ever on pay-per-view. His name is Native American Tatanka, beats Lex Luger in 6 minutes after he smelled plenty of money.
So what made this match bad, Eric? Was it the money?
Money, Lex? Was it plenty of money? Did you smell that plenty of money, Lex? You sold out, Lex!
And then they cut to the crowd and try to find the one kid crying, and everybody's just like, oh, okay. Like they smell the giant fart.
They actually queued up
so
a shot of a,
the
they had to queue up a shot of a woman crying at WrestleMania 7.
Yeah. with an Ultimate Warrior foam finger saying number one, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah.
My friend Nick and I totally called it when we were watching it live because it was just
really
so over the top, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was.
But I was very excited about the Tatanka heel turn.
Really?
Very excited.
Why?
Why? Because it allowed me to put and get pictures with it in this school yearbook.
Okay.
True story. I got the picture to prove it.
Awesome. That's fucking great. Yeah, I guess now that I had free reign to do Tatanka like I'd wanted to the whole time. I was at the time I was running around my living room giving the tomahawk chop. I really hated that guy.
Maybe it was because nothing else was going on in 94, really, but I was all about the Million Dollar Corporation.
Okay.
I mean, Tatanka, Bigelow, and
when your other heels are Jeff Jarrett and the Underfaker.
Right. Yeah, see, I was a big Bret Hart fan, so 94 is kind of a glory year for me at the time.
Yep.
So.
Really like Owen and Backlund at this time.
Oh, yeah, I love Backlund.
Oh, my God. And this was the only time he was good!
those of you piling things onto the wood pile and are barely paying attention because you have stuff to do. we'll get back to Owen and
it doesn't take a paralegal to understand this. Very good.
I'm gonna tell all the presidents by the end of this show, so
right. We'll get back to Owen, though, in a second. I want to mention quickly that country beat rap when Jeff Jarrett pinned Mabel in 6 minutes.
Yes. Yep. It did.
And then I cried.
Okay.
Probably the most overrated match ever. Bret Hart beats Owen Hart in longest half an hour cage match in the fucking history of the world.
Good. Not great. Very overrated.
Too long with not enough going on. Watching Hart's trying to climb a cage is pretty entertaining for about 12 seconds. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like watching the Special Olympics at times. It's just like nobody could understand how the cage worked. Bruce was trying to get himself way over by climbing and making an ass of himself. And,
oh, my God, yeah.
It's like almost every ladder match ever where people suddenly forget how to climb.
Right. It's a reverse battle royal where nobody can get into the ring.
Yeah.
Honestly, my favorite part of this match was way, way early in the card when Vince and Lawler are at ringside and they're interviewing the Hart family members, and you see Neidhart a few rows back, but you also see the British Bulldog. You're like, shit, yeah, Bulldog's back. This is
I know.
Great.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then the match had to happen.
I don't recall
any good wrestling in this match, by the way. I just remember climbing and pulling and climbing and
pulling. Yeah, that's all I remember, too. It's just, it's a really, 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 really slow-paced match with a bunch of hearts around. That's really all it is.
Gee, imagine that. Bret Hart calling a match and it's really, really slow-paced.
Really slow.
Shock.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. So, I don't know. I even at the time it being, 15 and still kind of totally, knowing it's fake, but like Dusty said yesterday, but still kind of believing some of it.
Yeah.
I even thought that match was boring as a 15-year-old Bret Hart Uber fan. Mm-hmm. So, and that's when I kind of knew this isn't very good. It doesn't mean I didn't watch the pay-per-view like 8 times in a row after that, but.
Right, exactly. Yep. I used to watch the shit out of everything, whether it was good or bad.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing about that time, too. I did the same thing because, I have maybe like 8 wrestling tapes back then.
Mm-hmm.
At least now it's easier to spread it out a little bit. But, I mean, my God, my SummerSlam 94 tape is worn out, and it's not because it's a good show.
No, it's just, that's what you did,
And then, to end the pay-per-view, all of Leslie Nielsen's hard work paid off. All of that detective work while eating Domino's pizza.
Yep.
trying to find the missing Undertaker. Thank God.
You'd think
and
this would be funny. They had Leslie Nielsen and
I know.
Kennedy, two awesome motherfuckers.
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah. And it just, I think it reeked way too much of WWF writing at the time. Vince humor.
Yeah.
So, the least funny human being on earth.
Yep.
Right, you know.
WWE writers write for legitimately hilarious people.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lesson should have been learned. It was not.
Nope. And we're still paying for it 15 years later.
So, the fake Undertaker, Brian Lee, brought back by Ted DiBiase. Undertaker been gone since, let's see, Royal Rumble, 94, when he was put in a casket by Yokozuna and 1,700 other people.
And Marty Jannetty ascended toward the heaven. So, yeah.
And then a few months later, people are wondering, where's the Undertaker? I saw the Undertaker. I was making a pastrami sandwich.
Man. Yeah, that's exactly the one I was thinking of, too.
And then, so Million Dollar Man, though, he's got the money to bring back the Undertaker.
Yep.
Who is strangely about 4 inches shorter and has a completely different face.
And is wider, yeah.
And it's strangely, Brian Lee isn't wrestling in Smoky Mountain for the next
couple. Weird how that works.
He comes back, but then, he needed a break, yeah. Yeah, trust me, fucking Brian Lee needed a break. Paul Bearer.
I'm tired just talking about him.
Paul Bearer comes down the aisle at the United Center, brings in a 75-pound urn with a huge airport light in it, shines it around, and thank God, here comes the real Undertaker, who I had seen two nights earlier in Des Moines, Iowa at a house show. so it was no big fucking surprise for me. Unbelievably bad 8-9 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It's
my God.
It lasted longer than Bret versus Owen.
Yeah, it does. It's so bad, and you could tell the whole plan for all of that was to lead to a long series of matches. Boy, did they realize real quick that that was a horrible, horrible idea.
No, you know what the plan was?
No way.
They were going to do this grandiose special effects crap where the two Undertakers merged together to signify that there would now only be one forever and ever.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
It's going to be like
good idea.
He-Man's sword and Skeletor's sword.
Yeah.
And if you put them together, you could enter Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, that's actually cool. And this has nothing to do with Tool.
Oh.
It was just awful. Awful,
wow,
slow
sad.
Pace. I mean, Undertaker wasn't, you know, people have fond memories of Undertaker, but he wasn't the best wrestler at the time, really.
So,
had a lot of slow, bad matches. Running. Yeah.
So you take all the stuff that Undertaker did slowly and poorly back then and multiply it by two.
Yeah, exactly. Make a clone of him, yep.
Right.
And have that clone be Brian Lee.
Let's have the clone be somebody a worse worker than him, you know?
Yep. Right. But, you know, all this, the good thing that came out of this whole feud is the birth of Aldo Montoya. So, he was, Undertaker had PJ Walker work with Brian Lee to get the Undertaker mannerisms down.
Uh-huh.
And for WWF to reward him, they put underwear on his head and said he was Portuguese. So,
yep.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yep.
I don't know if I've seen this before, so I'll throw it out there. The original plan was to have him be a Portuguese soccer star.
I didn't know that.
Which would have been better.
Yes.
Yeah.
People love their soccer.
Instead, he was a jellyfish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic. God, what a brilliant time of WWE's history this was.
I know.
So, I mean, there you go. 1994 SummerSlam, just running down the card one more time. Confusing, okay. Dusty loved it. Country versus rap, boring. And they fucked up Leslie Nielsen, and they made me want to eat Domino's. It's a horrible idea overall.
Yeah.
Eating Domino's is my first idea.
And now a word from our sponsor, Domino's. Oh, God, no.
No.
Gotta be the reason I have the run.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
it's all bad.
All of those things lead to SummerSlam 1994 being the worst SummerSlam ever.
Right.
Of fucking perpetuity. Oh, man. Any final thoughts on SummerSlam? Good, bad, or indifferent?
Were we going to talk about 93 quickly?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. God, better be quickly. God damn, we've been on here for an hour and 25
minutes. Well, we don't have to. We don't have to. We can...
Here's
no.
What we have to say about anything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think we do have to. It was requested of us.
Yep.
By twist of fate, who? Where the hell are you? Get back on the message board, dummy.
Yeah, no kidding.
We need
twist
you.
Of,
you're awesome.
Twist of P-hate.
Let's just kind of pick out the good stuff here.
Yeah.
1993. This is a special request. It got 2 votes as the worst ever. It was the first pay per view I ever ordered, so it has a spot in my heart. It has
second one for me. So yeah.
Artery.
Yep. Second one for me. First one as a real super fan.
Yeah.
So it's man again super special.
Yep. I'll run through some of this stuff.
Yeah,
quickly.
Just go fast.
Babyface Razor Ramon beats Ted DiBiase in DiBiase's last match for a while.
Ever.
The storyline being DiBiase wanted to make him a house servant.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, give him a job. Yep, DiBiase's last WWF match ever.
Yep, DiBiase then, of course, he lost to P.J. Walker, I believe.
Yep.
Earlier on the lead up to this, Rick and Scott Steiner beat the Heavenly Bodies, who were on loan from Smoky Mountain. Pretty good match, actually.
Right.
Very good.
The one thing that gets screwed up is when Sister calls Rick Rob during the interview.
Bob and
yep.
Scott. Yep.
Bob and Scott. Yep.
So that was pretty sad. Shawn Michaels defended the Intercontinental title against Mr. Perfect.
Not as good as it should have been.
Yeah,
not
they were
as
both
good.
A step off.
Yeah,
which is really sad because, you know, 2 years ago, my God, what a fucking incredible match that would have been.
Yeah, it was, and I had high hopes knowing what I knew then. It didn't work.
Yep.
One thing about this time period was that Michaels was gaining weight under pressure from Vince McMahon because McMahon thought everybody had to be big, you know?
Yep. And, of course, a couple months later, he'd be suspended for using steroids.
Right.
Yeah.
As Intercontinental champion. Yep.
Yep. Damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Erwin R. Scheister beats the 1-2-3 kid in about 6 minutes. I was surprised to see this. I didn't think Erwin needed the win. I like
him. No, he didn't.
I like Erwin.
Early glimpses of parody booking. Yeah.
Yeah, DiBiase loses his match. Erwin has to win his.
Yeah, why?
Yeah. Probably the best part of the whole pay-per-view, Jerry the King Lawler comes out on crutches with an ice pack to his knees.
This is so great.
This is the best thing ever.
Yeah,
this is one of my all-time favorite moments in WWF, like, period, for about 5 to 10 year span. This is toward the top. Lawler is so brilliant.
This is
if
Jerry
I was
Lawler
ever given
showing.
The book anywhere, I would recreate this in one of my first shows.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is Jerry Lawler finally getting to show on a national stage what he is capable of as far as cutting a promo, getting people pissed at him, and having the crowd eat out of the palm of his hand.
Oh, my God.
He's weaseling his way out of this match against Bret Hart, so his substitute is Doink the Clown.
A good Doink.
Everyone shits on the surface, the crowd does, because it's like, Doink, ew. When in reality, Doink is one of the most phenomenal characters and a great wrestler.
So, he's a great wrestler, so it's... This is Matt Bourne, right?
Is choosing a clown to replace him, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's perfect. But the clown can wrestle. This is the Matt Bourne one, right, still?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
They have a good
So it's Matt Bourne. Matt Bourne versus Bret Hart is a good match.
Absolutely.
And Matt Bourne in a clown outfit versus Bret Hart is a better match.
Uh-huh.
So they wrestle for 10 minutes, it's good, and then Lawler tries to walk away, and it's proven that he can actually walk. His knee's not hurt, so then Brett attacks him, and they wrestle for
about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, Tunney makes him wrestle again.
Fucking Jack Tunney. He'll be suspended for life. So then he gets in and wrestles, and Brett locks the sharpshooter on him and holds it on him for 3.5 minutes.
So good.
I turn to this every time heel beats down a baby face on Wrestling Now and chokes a guy for maybe 15 seconds before letting up.
He beat him up. Yeah.
Puts a hold on a guy for maybe 30 seconds tops.
This is supposed to be a blood feud. Why would you let go? If the guy beat the crap out of you and you won the King of the Ring, why would you let go? You get that move on, you're going to try to break his legs.
Yep.
So
I don't know. Great angle. Fantastic.
And then the match overturned, which leads to, you know, potentially more matches before the whole rape charge against Waller. Whoops.
Amazing. Okay. Ludwig Borga beats Marty Jannetty. Ludwig Borga. I'm in Detroit. This crumbling building. This still.
He's like a Finnish Woodsy the Owl. Hates pollution.
Give a hoot. I'm going to beat you.
Up and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my opportunities. Marty Jannetty, this filth. Whatever. Ludwig, we all love Ludwig, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Finnish punch. You heard of the Hawaiian punch? That's the Finnish punch. Oh, God. Undertaker beats Giant Gonzalez in a
rest in peace match. Yep.
How long do they make those guys wrestle? 8 minutes? Fucking
crazy. Seven of them is Giant Gonzalez getting running the ropes.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out, like, it takes him 2 minutes to get from one side of the ring to the other, so.
Yep.
Just awful. Awful, awful.
Let's see. Ooh, here we go. Six-man tag team action. The Smoking Guns and Tatanka beat Bam Bam Bigelow and the Head Shrinkers. This was a good match.
Mm-hmm. Again, hard to have a bad six, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, just good.
And let's finish it off. Fuck it. Lex Luger beats... I have shit to do. Lex Luger beats Yokozuna in a world title match by count out.
And then the
balloons
drop.
And confetti, streamers, and Aaron Neville, and that Japanese guy sings their national anthem, and Bobby Heenan says, hey, that's a pretty catchy tune.
Yep. Vince getting cold feet. The whole plan of the Lex Express is so he can win the belt, and then Vince just can't do it and changes plans. But the whole, like, carrying him out of the ring and the balloons had already been planned. So,
yeah.
From what I understand, it was day of he changed.
Famous last words by Jim Cornette. Well, I'd have Luger win because otherwise he'd look like a plate full of piss. Well,
yeah. It seemed even ridiculous to me as a 14-year-old to have a guy who won by countout being carried out like, you know, he won 10 World Series at the same time.
Oh, I was screaming. What is he celebrating?
Yeah. I know. You knocked a fat Samoan to the outside. Woo!
Mm. Hey, you didn't come here for a moral victory, dipshit. But then again, it is Lex Luger we're talking about. And WWE and WWF. And they were pretty fucking confused at the time. And unfortunately, that's the main event we get at SummerSlam 93, which we had to talk about by request. Twist of Fate, there you go. You got a little bit of 1993 on you. So,
bonus this material.
Yeah, really, this is your Easter egg.
Easter egg stuff.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much spells the end of our worst of SummerSlam edition, which included one best of and one that didn't even qualify for worst.
And one that was on the best. Yeah, one that was on the best of. Yep, definitely. So.
All right, excellent. That was the worst audio of the worst of.
Worst of audio, yep.
Yep, so, all right, should we all say goodbye and around, folks?
Okay.
All right. Well,
I mean, literally, like, barbershop version. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
No, seriously, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. So.
Okay.
Everyone have a good one. We'll see you on the flip.
Yep.
Okay, for Jordan and Eric, this is Dusty. Have a good one.